Good afternoon. First of all, could I get your names and your positions, please?
My name is Martha Winter-Sable. I'm the regional coordinator for Food First NL.
My name is Joya Montevecchi, and I'm the Nihiavut Ninatsiavutini project manager with Food First NL.
And there was the first Food First NL summit that was held here in Nain recently. Could you tell our audience about this?
Sure. I think what would be important first is just to give a bit of background on the Nihiavut Ninatsiavutin project. So that project is a four-year project that aims to support communities throughout Ninatsiavut in developing clear and community-driven action plans to improve access to food, so healthy and culturally appropriate food. We are now in the fourth year of that project, and so this year brought together many of our project partners in communities, so from the Inuit community governments as well as our food security committees in Nain, Hopedale, and Rigolet, as well as, of course, a big part of this work is the work that's being done by Martha as the regional coordinator for the project, as well as our three coordinators in Nain, Hopedale, and Rigolet. We also engaged the regional government there. So Ninatsiavut government collaborates and partners on this project. So we had many of the ministers, so the Minister of Economic Development, the Minister of Education, the Minister of Health, as well as the First Minister and President Lamp at the summit. And then we also brought in our provincial and national partners, so provincial government, federal government officials, as well as national Inuit organizations. And Martha, you might want to just talk a little bit about what the intention of the summit.
Yes, I just wanted to add on to that. We did invite also our Inuit community government, Angiokah. And this summit, we wanted to discuss where we're going and what we wanted out of this meeting. And I'm glad we had this meeting because we had a lot of participants from all of the communities. And I just wanted to point out that how important this project is. And I think it was clear to them how important the project was and that we did have a lot of support from the participants and from the Nunavut government and even our local Inuit community government. So we did presentation from each of our communities. I did the regional one, and our coordinators did a presentation on each of their communities in Hopedale, in Rigolet, and in Nain. So they had a pretty good idea of what exactly is happening in our communities and what we were looking to go towards in the future. So I think overall it was a great meeting, and there was a lot of support, and I'd just like to thank everybody for participating and giving us go-ahead and the success we're hoping to reach out of going forward.
Yeah, and just to add on to what Martha is saying there, what we were able to do at the summit was to feature a lot of the work that we've been working on in the region for the last 4 years. Through the project, we've been able to develop a really rich understanding of the complexities of the food system in Ninatsiavut, and we've been able to identify the major food security challenges that exist in our participating communities of Nain, Hopedale, and Rigolet. And by identifying those areas, we've also been able to intervene at those kind of critical points in the system to help communities overcome those challenges. So the project has supported communities in developing innovative programs that specifically meet the challenges that each community faces. And so at the summit, coordinators highlighted sort of what the major issues are to accessing food and then what each of those communities has done to address those challenges. And it was really important to kind of share that story with not just the project partners, but specifically with the Ninatsiavut government. From there, we were able to highlight some of the impacts of the work in the region. And then we moved into, at the summit, action planning sessions where everybody in the room was engaged in a discussion about identifying the most important pieces of the work that has happened in the region. And then that led into a bit of a discussion about where we go from there, because of course this year the project is entering its last year of funding, committed funding from the federal government. And another intention of this summit, and a big intention of this summit, was to discuss with our regional partners, so the Ninatsiavut government as well as the Inuit community governments, as to how we will ensure that the important pieces of this work continue to operate in the region as we transition out of full funding from the Public Health Agency of Canada.
You talked about the important pieces of the region. What are they?
In terms of the the important things that are running through the project. On the ground, we have incredible programs that have been really successful in addressing the major challenges to accessing food. And the program that we run are related to overcoming challenges accessing a number of different types of food in the region. So we have programs that are addressing challenges accessing wild food. So in Hopedale, for example, through the project has helped to expand the existing community freezer, so there is improved access to wild food for people in the community. So things we've done there are we've expanded the eligibility so that more community members are able to access the freezer. We've increased the amount of wild food coming into the freezer and also increased the diversity of food at the freezer, as well as put in some new infrastructure so that there's more room to store food. We also run programs that address challenges to accessing store food. So in Rigolet, for example, we run a program called the Good Food Box Program, and that Good Food Box Program improves access to healthy store food by running a bulk buying program, and that's coordinated by the food security coordinator and the committee there, and they do monthly orders of meat from a wholesaler in Goose Bay, and that helps people to access higher quality as well as more affordable food. So that program alternates between meat and vegetable items. Another way that we're addressing food security challenges, and I'll use an example from Nain, is that we've run programs to improve healthy food skills and knowledge through the region, and that includes both traditional and contemporary food skills. So the Nihi Hautik program in Nain focuses on working with a small number of participants and improving their sort of healthy food knowledge as well as healthy food cooking skills. So these are the really important pieces of the project that we're exploring ways to sustain those important pieces, because we know how impactful they've been in the region.
And also, just to mention a bit about the gardening, we have garden participants in Rigolet and Hopedale with the community gardens, and they're going to expand. Like we include in Hopedale this year our youth, and in Rigolet they're teaching, like in Hopedale especially, where it's mostly rock, the importance of growing vegetables, and we're like into our third year now, and you know, it's producing our vegetables, and people look forward to that each year, so that complements the food that we have at the freezer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good point that Martha raised there. There was a lot of interest in the region for more programs that improve skills around local production. And one of the many reasons for that, but one of the major ones, is that producing food locally will lessen reliance on the store for food, especially in times when the distribution of food is disrupted by weather, which happens so frequently on the coast.
And you said the funding runs out. What happens after the funding runs out? Is it going to keep going, or?
So as I noted, the purpose of the summit was to bring our partners together on this project to develop action plans forward so that we ensure the work on the ground is sustained beyond the full commitment of funding from the Public Health Agency of Canada. And so now we are in the stage where sort of just after the summit, going to be following up with people that we've identified as main leads on certain aspects of this work in the region to ensure that those important pieces that were identified at the summit do continue past this year.
Was there any discussion of having another food security summit?
This summit was planned for the final year of this phase of funding from the Public Health Agency of Canada. So this was the sort of climax of the project and one of the key moments that we were really working toward. From the beginning, this project has been focused on sustainability. So we have known, and our partners have known, and the co-leads on the project have known, that we would have only kind of 4 years of committed funding through Food First as a nonprofit organization, and that after those 4 years that we would have to be transitioning into more local ownership and commitment. And we definitely did see a lot of commitment and support from the Nunatsiavut government, as well as from the local Inuit community governments through the Angkiyukaq throughout Nunatsiavut. So we're very hopeful, and I think the summit was an incredible opportunity for us, and it was a real success in bringing together these incredible decision makers that have the ability and capacity to continue this work in Inatsiavut.
Would you like to add anything, either of you?
I would just like to add how important this project, all these projects that we have in our communities, are to the people in their communities. I find people, especially since the ban of the caribou, that they're relying more on us and the food that the NG are given to the communities each year. And because of that ban, I just wanted to point out that because of the ban that we've had to adjust to different other types of food. And I just wanted to point that out, how important this project is to our communities. And I'm sure people at the summit heard that. And I just wanted to make certain that how important the project is to each of our communities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would echo Martha's sentiment there. I think what we've seen through this project is that it provided an opportunity for communities to come together and really use those things that sort of the Nunatsiavut region is so incredibly good at, like community sharing, like passing on traditional food skills. And all of those things have been sort of ever-present in Nunatsiavut, but this project has really allowed people to come together and to continue with those practices that are sort of traditional to Nunatsiavut culture around food. So what we did back in February and March with an incredible sound producer named Annie McEwen is traveled through the participating communities in Nunatsiavut to record stories from participants as well as committee members, as well as to record sounds from the land that are related to food in Nunatsiavut. So these stories, we have about 18 of them that are featured on the website, and the website address is foodfirstnl.ca, and that will take you to a landing page where you can go to visit the site and listen to these stories as well as some paired photos. Today we wanted to share with you three stories. The first one comes from Nain, and it's called The Bread Story, and this story features one of the participants of the program. Her name is Keturah Solomon, and she has an incredible story about baking bread and sharing it with community.
So I'm going to go over to my cousin's, just over here. They might not have bread today.
I should put a pot of coffee on it.
I'm Keturah Solomon.
I'm trying to see if the yeast is any good.
If it wasn't for the Food Security Network and Regina Dicker, I wouldn't even know how to cook properly for my family.
3 tablespoons of sugar.
Regina Dicker is our instructor, and
I hope the sugar.
She's the best.
It helps the yeast rise.
She's helped me a lot.
Do I have to add any salt or baking powder there now? A quarter cup of salt.
I've seen a lot of stuff. My childhood was not very good. I was in and out of group homes for 6 years because of their drinking and the abuse that was in the house, and that's why I always broke the law, just to get away from Nain. Like, I did a lot of drinking, yeah. But when I found out I was pregnant, I said, I can't go on living like this. It's not for me anymore. It's for my baby inside me, and everything changed.
Time out. Now you can start mixing.
Being a single mother, it was hard.
Do we start pouring the water now?
Mm-hmm. But I'm...
All of it or what?
And I know I raised them good on my own.
All the water is used up.
Yeah. And they are who they are today because of the way I grew them up. Gotta respect your elders, and gotta respect your church. You gotta respect one another. Those are the things that my mother taught me. Yeah.
Yeah, just keep gathering like this.
Too much flour.
No. Remember, you just gotta keep doing that.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah. Everything changed for me the day my son was born, 23 years ago. That I makes myself sound very old.
We'll see how it fries in this pan.
We made bread here at the cooking class, and as I told Regina, that's too much for me. I'm gonna have to give some out. So on my way home from the cooking class that day, I just dropped by some seniors' homes and gave them a loaf of bread, because I didn't know if they were going to eat that day or if they can afford the flour, or like, that breaks my heart. And they just told me, nakumik, nakumik, thank you, thank you. So yeah, I wanted to cry just to help somebody out. If I won't help them, who will? That's all I think about. So I gotta help them out in any way I can. Even for that just one moment, like when I handed out that bread, I could see their happiness in their eyes. That helped a lot.
Hopefully it'll all turn out.
I made 11 loaves of bread, but I went home with two, and that was enough, because that would last us at least 4 days. And it was delicious. I made it. My daughter loved it more. Like, she said, oh my God, Mom, is this your bread, the one you made? I said, yeah. And they just loved the thought that I made bread for them, and I told them the story about me making 11 loaves of bread, and I came home with two for you guys and gave out the rest.
Lots of dishes.
Just gonna feed a couple seniors today. I'm planning on giving most of this bread away today, because I know it's that time of the month where they won't be able to afford flour or bread today. Another 3 minutes to go. With this cooking class, I could make a difference even just for that one moment, because I'll be feeding them what I cooked. I hope they're home. Oh, their skidoo is there. Yeah, I think they're home. No one home. TV is on though. Just coming now. Hi, can we come in? Oh, I come to drop off a loaf of bread to you.
Cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, nothing.
It's still warm.
Smells good. Yeah. Maya, you want to open your own cooking place now, then?
I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm just glad that I got a chance to go to these cooking classes with Regina.
Well, we'll have fresh bread for supper.
Because I didn't know how to properly cook before.
Yeah.
But I kind of know where I'm going now in feeding my family properly and healthier food, and yeah. Oh my.
Anyway, I must get going home. It's time to cook supper.
second story that we're going to share comes from Hopedale, and it features Martha Winters Abel, who's on the line, as well as Juliana Flowers, and they talk about the community freezer program and how important it is to the community of Hopedale.
My name is Martha Winters Abel. I'm the regional coordinator for food security. I'm based here in Hopedale, and my job is to work with the five Inuit communities.
Juliana Flowers, coordinator for Inuit Hopedale.
Here in Hopedale, the impact that our programs have on our communities and our people is a very positive one.
Well, we now have our walk-in freezer. That was one of the main points at the beginning. We have two chest freezers in HICG.
There's a big old piece and there's another thing. Even though the freezer is open to everybody in the community, we find it more being used more by the seniors and people with low income.
What's your name?
Amos Simiak. Yeah, I end up for my brother-in-law. He asked me to come pick this up for me. He's an elder person and he can't hardly walk.
Since the ban on the caribou, the Nunavut Selvit communities did not really have no source of daily staple meat. So what NG had done was they stepped up and got moose from the northern peninsula of the island.
We have an elderly man, and we call him our senior. He uses our freezer quite a bit. And he called one day and he said, "You got any more of them moose wieners?" And I said, "Oh yes, we have so many. We got a lot of moose wieners now." So, and of course, you know, he was talking about the moose sausages that he got really accustomed to.
They also provide char and cod.
Char is upstairs.
Char is upstairs.
Yeah.
Right.
Take two.
Nope.
We also get from local hunters. This past year, we were fortunate to get a lot of muttuk.
Muttuk.
I'd asked before me.
And the meat from the porpoise and jumper.
It's dolphin fin. Good. That's my favorite group with that on my life.
You know, it's there. It's helping our people. I mean, we've been doing this for so many years, and long before this, we were sharing with people.
Yep.
And it's sharing and it's providing, it's communicating and all the things that we do as Inuit, it's there, it's all, like, and it's been ongoing that for years, ever since I was growing up. Like, if you didn't have anything, the other hunters or harvesters would supply for them, and there was a lot of sharing. And even though this is a freezer, like, it's sharing with everybody, and that it's provided for them so that there would be no hunger for people.
And then the third story comes from Rigolette, and it tells the story of the Good Food Box program that's operating through this project. And the story is told by Carlene Palliser, who is our previous food security coordinator in Rigolette.
My name is Carlene Palliser. I'm the financial officer for the Rigolette Inuit Community Government. I think the problem is that you go to the store and, like, the produce and stuff wasn't very good quality. And I don't think that everyone was voicing their concerns. Like, they might have thought it, but they never ever said it out loud, kind of thing. And after food first come around and we started going out into the community, talking, doing surveys about food and talking to people about the food, then you realize, like, okay, this is not only my concern, it's everybody else's concern as well. Like, with the food first, like, got people thinking, just because I live in a community that's isolated, that don't mean I don't deserve to eat good quality food.
Hi, Jan. It's Jill. Your Good Food Box order came now. You can pick it up at the council office. Okay, thanks. Bye.
The Good Food Box order, it's like, we started off with meats because as bad as their fruits and vegetables was at the time, the meats wasn't really poor quality.
Next is Kathy.
The meats that we have ordered is beef roast, pork roast, ham, turkey, whole chicken, chicken legs, turkey necks, fish, codfish, skinless chicken breasts.
A case of turkey necks, so.
What else do we have?
One ham.
Oh, pork chops.
And one case of drum beef.
Gosh, when you say it like that, it's a lot.
Hi, Tony. It's Jill. Your good food box order is in now. You can pick it up at the council office. Thanks. Bye.
People would come to the office and make out the order, what they wanted to purchase, and we'd take their money and then wait for the order to come in on your lap.
Hi.
That's yours.
Oh, this is mine?
Yeah.
Oh.
They were saying that people were really happy about the quality of the food and came to pick up the items right away.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed the thought that people is using the program because it'll do good for their families.
You can't use that as a grub box or anything.
Why not?
Because I said so. Yeah, we know where you live.
See ya.
When I was into the airstrip picking up the good food box order on Skidoo, and we have this big yellow toboggan, and when we went to pick up the order, it was like filled with the good food box order. And when we were going down the road, I knew that an elderly couple had ordered some fish, so I said, instead of calling them when I get up there, I'll just drop it in. So I dropped it in and went on, and the neighbor had seen me, and she said, I seen you yesterday delivering the meat box across the road, and it looked like Christmas, she said. So yeah. So it's something good for sure.